The footy season is completed and the Dead Set Legends goes to 3 hours.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Still trying to figure it out personally, but we're ready to rock and roll. We cannot wait for it. The former skipper of the Redbacks dominated Shield cricket for 2 decades. Callum Ferguson, hello, mate.
Oh, why wouldn't you just help yourself to another half an hour of the Dead Set Legends on a Saturday morning, particularly as nice as this. Once again, for Dead Set Legends time, there's barely a cloud in the sky. It's going to be about 21, 22. You couldn't ask for any better on a weekend. Fire up, Adelaide.
The two-time best and fairest All-Australian from the Brisbane Lions and the Port Adelaide Footy Club, Tommy Rockliffe. Hello, mate.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, Adelaide. It's a sad time, isn't it? Once the footy season's over, we all look for something to do. The cricket season's on our doorstep, about to kick off as well. The spring racing's nearby as well. So we've got to find other hobbies to do on the weekend.
Local cricket. A couple of my mates are kicking off today. I just think it's too early. A week into October, surely we push that back, Fergus?
I'm not sure that the livers have recovered after Grand Final day last week. They need a little bit of separation. Just give them a bit of a break. But Premier Cricket in particular, they've got a big weekend of T20s this weekend.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of movement between the clubs, a lot of controversy as well. But there always is, and it's exciting time. Once the summer kicks in, the spring comes to play, the grass starts growing again. It's exciting times.
Rocky, had one of the great plum ticklers throughout the week. As soon as Clayton Oliver, we nearly signed him at the Crows, and then it was ripped from underneath us like you could not believe. Jeez, I was up. I've been flat for 48 hours, so Damien Barrett's going to have to join us after 9:30.
Yeah, we'll speak to Damo about it. Our man, The Drop.
Yes, Dropper.
Down there. He's a Triple M man. He had Clayton Oliver picking his number out at the start of the week.
Well, Tex nearly changed numbers, I think.
Is that right? Nearly handed it over.
Where we're at. Could not believe it.
Red carpet out. He was on his way over. But, obviously a little bit going on there. So Damo will have all the inside word of what happened there. And we'll ask him about free agency as well, how those picks work, because we couldn't quite work it out off air.
And we've got Bathurst tomorrow.
Yeah.
The great race.
Wow.
How good. And we've got the great man, Gregory Rust, as you coined him. He cannot wait to chat to him a little bit later on, because he'll give us the full rundown of how that looks. It's an exciting weekend.
Sammy Jacobs as well, the new coach of the Woodville West Torrens. Get it right, Rocky. So he's going to join us very shortly as well.
Does that mean the end of the Sunday morning Crow Show?
That's a very good question. That's what I want to know.
I'll be coining to hang on to that, the Crow Show. I'll tell you what. It just needs a couple more years and it will find its groove.
I'll tell you what, there'll be 20-odd people out there very disappointed if it doesn't go ahead.
They used to hang for the results the night before, and how did the showdown go last night? Where are they going to get their Crows news?
Why would you touch on it? But next, though, Rocky, we need to find out about our man Callum Ferguson, because he found himself front and centre in the September club we're hearing, dominated in Melbourne last weekend, and we're going to need the rundown next here at the Dead Set Legends. It's Triple M. Nice works, how good, with no lies. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. Damien Barrett's going to join us just after 9:30, going to get the latest in the trade world. But Rocky, it's been a week since, and I think people are just getting over it. What a grand final that was, with Collingwood coming out on top.
Yeah, certainly was, and then followed up the next day with the NRL Grand Final as well.
Good.
They were both absolute crackers. Unfortunately, Brisbane were on the wrong side of both of them, but the AFL Grand Final, probably the best Grand Final we've seen in 20, 25 years, I would have thought. Yeah. It'd be right up there, if not longer. To have that many lead changes in the games, both teams had that momentum, high scoring first quarter, first half, and then it just became a real physical contest, contested brand of footy in that second half, which we love to see. 3 minutes to go, you thought Collingwood sort of had it wrapped up, and then Brisbane went bang, Joey Danaher, and then they had an opportunity as well to go inside 50. But Collingwood, the far better team for most of the day, but the controversial decision late, the advantage play on, I thought, wasn't there. 100,000 in the stand. You've got to bring that back. And even when it was played on, I mean, Bailey snapped it over his head. He's been had his head taken off in the tackle as well. So they should have had an opportunity to go inside 50 and Brisbane potentially win that game. I think if Lachie Neal or Zach Bailey's kicking that inside 50, they find a target and they have a shot to win the game.
I reckon the umpires just got caught up in it a little bit, didn't they? They just like lost their heads a little bit.
The whole final series.
They struggled the whole series, didn't they, Tomo?
Oh, mate.
The whole season.
Yeah. I could just think a couple that, in the series as well, that the GWS Collingwood one, the non-free kicks, and then the free kick, the exact same thing were paid in the grand final. So the consistency was nowhere.
I'll tell you what, news.com.au didn't miss our man.
No, they found him.
Yes, that's right. Scoops Rockcliffe threw a couple of barbs out into the Twitter sphere, and or the X sphere these days, and they jumped all over him, didn't they, Tommy?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just good. This is the thing you can guarantee is death, taxes, and news.com with Tommy Rockcliffe at least twice a year.
That's right.
And we love it.
He's on the payroll there.
It's great for the Dead Set Legends. But you were actually there, Fergus. So explain the atmosphere. There was 100,000 people there. Incredible.
Yeah, 100,024. They maxed out the MCG. It was absolutely outstanding. I was very lucky to be there as a guest of the MCC. But the atmosphere, I was talking to Rock yesterday, and honestly, I've been to a lot of live footy, and you get that little bit of a pull. Let's go to the bar. Let's have a couple of beers. You know, I'll get back to my seat a bit later after quarter time or half time. There was none of that. I could not wait to get back to my seat. I didn't want to leave it at quarter time or three quarter time. Wow. I was worried there wasn't going to be time to get back and I was going to miss something. It was that great a game of footy. I'll back in anyone that wants to say it's the greatest grand final of the modern era, because I haven't been that attached to a game for a long, long time. And it wasn't just that it was a close contest. The standard of footy, the kicks being made on the diagonal inside into the corridor. No one took a backward step at any point, and there was scoring. The first half was electric, Rock.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was the footy was just going up and down both teams. Collingwood had their opportunity to blow the game away. Let's talk about post game though. This is where the real action happened.
I was licking my lips.
Ventured into the September Club.
Yes, I did, and it was something that I hadn't seen before. It was it was suited for 2,500 people, this corporate facility, and there were broadcast tents everywhere in there, big entertainment area in the middle for live bands and a little bit of hot dub time machine might have seen a few of us out there a bit later on in the night, but it was absolutely fantastic. I spent most of my time in the Triple M tent, which was of the highest order, and
I'm just saying you sort of demanded some time last week to talk about grand final Greg, which is Greg Blewett, who didn't make the trip over.
Well,
so what happened?
It was noted.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was mentioned. People were asking me, you know, where's grand final Greg? You know, people that wouldn't normally see him, you know, during the year, but expect to see grand final Greg there in and amongst September Club on the back of what is now an infamous performance last year. In fact, speaking to a lot of people in the Triple M fraternity over that weekend, that they've actually coined a new medal, which is the grand final Greg medal for the worst on ground.
Worst on ground.
September Club. So I've got the votes.
Okay,
the votes
are
in, right?
This is huge.
We've had I've got a panel of judges. It consists of myself and Ewan Giles from Triple M. That's it.
Ewan's
the head of footy and cricket. And NRL, so he organises all of the content. But the votes are in.
Okay.
Now, Matt O'Reilly, our boss, we know that he enjoys a junket like no other. Yeah. And he's told his wife that he'll be going every year as long as he gets a ticket, just in case the tickets run dry at some point. He will be going every year, leaving his family behind and making his way across.
Perfect.
He tried to give himself 3 votes. Not happening.
No good.
He got 1 vote. Rampant display at the hot dub time machine performance and constant pestering of his workmates to make their way to the front of the stage with him so he could jump around like a 15-year-old at a baby concert. Genius. So he gets 1 vote. Daisy Thomas.
Oh, wow.
Made a bit of a later arrival to the September Club. Not sure what he was up to, but made a later. But once he came in, he was firing bullets left, right and centre. Absolutely outstanding. Daisy Thomas, 2 votes. But the 3 votes go to, I mean, there was daylight between Daisy and this man.
Is that
he was absolutely outstanding from the first beer, the first stubby post game.
Responsibly.
Of course. It's always responsible with Triple M. Don't worry about that. To the very last, when everyone's getting a foot in the backside to get out of the joint.
Yep.
Jude Bolton, 3 votes.
Well done.
When it came to Hot Dub Time Machine, I've not seen energy like it. He just kept coming. Absolutely outstanding. He was there with Matt O'Reilly all night. Fantastic. But in keeping with Triple M tradition, there has to be a worst on ground.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, who was worse?
2023 is a very different time.
It is.
You just got to be careful here.
That's right. So that's why we're going to lay this bloke out for not bringing it
on grand final day.
Not turning up. When it came to the big... And speaking to Ewan, he was told that this guy was coming in on a heater.
Right.
Like he was ready to go.
Yes.
Talked a big game all week.
Yes.
Didn't turn up on grand final day. Tex Walker.
Oh, wow.
Grand final Greg Award goes to Tex Walker.
The worst on.
Strongly outperformed by his wife, Ellie, who was outstanding. Brought great energy, a great attitude the whole night, the whole day. Absolutely outstanding.
So Taylor Walker's got a bit of form in this area because 2017 grand final
didn't show up.
2023. But Ferg, it's funny that you mentioned Taylor Walker because a bit of information came across our desk that you and him may have been shoulder by shoulder and probably the worst performed on that weekend.
This is Limo throughout the week.
There's an area just outside the MCG called the September Club, where lots of businesses have marquees, and Triple M have a marquee there. And the party was kicking off in the Triple M marquee. And guess who I saw on the dance floor?
Who?
Just cutting some beautiful moves. Two blokes working that dance floor magnificently. Triple M's own, the big Texan, Tex Walker. And Cal Ferguson on the dance floor.
Is that true?
Absolutely. I was neck deep in it. I'll tell you what I did do as well. When Blues Brothers came on, I had the dark aviators in the pocket, whipped them out, chucked them on, and started dancing to the Blues Brothers.
Absolutely me. Poor kids at home. He has rhythm of a statue, our man.
Absolutely outstanding I was.
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
This is his time of year. The AFL Grand Final, done and dusted. No one gives a stuff about that. It's all about Bathurst. And there's one man that's going to inform us all. His name's Gregory Rust. Good morning to you, Rusty.
Yes.
And Gregory normally means I'm in trouble with my mother. So
not today,
I'm not in trouble. No, correct.
He won't be camping out there. He'll be in four-star treatment. There's no getting that.
How good is this, Rusty? It is the weekend of all weekends, mate, Bathurst. But the Ford fans aren't happy. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a bit of grief going on there at the moment. Fundamentally, it surrounds the parity between the two cars. They have brand new cars this year, as you guys know. We've talked about it on the show a few times. And in endeavouring to get that right, it needs to be a process, a bit of tuning along the way. And they had Ford asked for an adjustment around bodywork for Bathurst to hopefully put them on a bit more of an even keel, they thought, with the Camaro. Now, the results so far suggests that it's a pretty even mix. They're all chasing Brody Kostecki and that Coca-Cola Camaro. But the Fords, I think, feel like they're maxed out and there's more to come from the Chevrolet side of the equation. So they're not happy at the moment. Ford, in particular, as a company, is not happy, and neither are the Ford teams. But I think we've just got to pause for a little moment and realise that tomorrow is a massive day. A lot typically unfolds in that magic race, and sometimes we get things that are just off script. So what we might see in qualifying and in the shootout later this afternoon don't necessarily reflect what's going to roll out tomorrow in the race.
Gee, watch this space, guys. And just how valuable are the gun co-drivers in an endurance race like this, Rusty? Because Jamie Wincup, for example, has got Brock Feeney.
Yeah, and I mean, he is... Wincup is the greatest of all time, right? 7 championships, 4 Bathursts. He really should have more Bathurst titles to his name. Mm. And these days he works as the team boss there at Triple Eight. It's Feeney who's on the rise, this young star who's doing some great things. They've just won the Sandown 500, the traditional lead into Bathurst in recent weeks. So, I mean, if you put Wincup back in a car now, it would not be on a full-time basis. It would not be very long until he was absolutely competitive once again. So he is invaluable on a day like tomorrow. He's a huge asset for them, definitely.
Huge.
Just like riding a bike. It'd be like Fer going back out there on the cricket field, Rusty. There'd be no good whatsoever. There's a few people saying this will be one of the most unpredictable Bathurst ever, and they might be right after watching qualifying yesterday. Red flags left, right and centre. Who wins?
That is the toughest question of all, because tomorrow there's so much that is going to unfold. Weather's been a little bit of a talking point as well. These are brand new cars, right, and they don't behave in the same way that the older generation cars do. And that's actually a good thing. They move around a little bit more. They do things differently. They look and sound spectacular. And on the flip side of that, there's a couple of little intricacies around them. So, for example, they have a fuel tank in them, which will enable the cars to go longer over the course of a stint. But they are using some softer tyres this year as well, which may not match or last the full length of that stint. So you can get people at the end of the day who have got a lot of fuel on board, but maybe don't have the tyres to last. So you could get some heartbreak tomorrow in those final 20 laps. It's going to be unmissable watching.
Cannot wait.
Incredibly informative once again, Rusty. Ah. Thank you so much, mate. You enjoy yourself this weekend and behave.
Yes.
I'll try.
See you, great man.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
26 minutes away from 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. And all year we've had Jay-Z Clark on doing all the new stuff, all the updates here at the Dead Set Legends. Well, we've branded him off there. He was Damien Barrett from Wish. He was. When it's the real stuff and the trade talk goes, we go to the top dog. He is AFL's number one news hound, Damien Barrett. Morning, Damo.
Hello, boys. I'll tell Jay-Z you just passed that on.
I don't want a part of it. Purple, leave me out of it, please.
Hey, Damo, could you just explain to our listeners, we're coming to the free agency period. I think a lot of us are still trying to get our head around what's going on with the compensation picks. We look back to the buddy one that was pick 19, and then we're hearing potentially Mackay being pick 3. What's the story?
Oh, how long? I've been told you want about 5 minutes. This will take a week. Look, it's been going for 12 years, this compensation. And look, even there was a briefing during the week of media about it. There's a formula attached to it. I'll quickly nutshell it, but ultimately there's discrepancies everywhere. It's based on age. So if you're younger and you're about to be a free agent, that will work for the compensation in a positive way. Right. Basically, each player is ranked from one to wherever on that age and contract, and they spin it out that if you in the top 5% of that collection, you'll get a first round compensation pick, and then it works downs from there. I mean, I see last night, though, Matt Flynn, who wasn't able to get a game for the Giants this year after Kieran Briggs took over, he's gone to West Coast as a free agent. And the Giants, in my eyes, surprisingly, somehow got a end of second round compensation pick for him. So I don't know how that lines up. I mean, I look at the discrepancies. I look at what Brisbane Lions did with Joe Danaher a few years ago, offered him a contract that got for Essendon a first-round pick straight after their first pick in the draft that year. And then 6 months later, Brisbane Lions changed that contract. They smoothed it out. So I'm raising that because the deal he ended up accepting in the longer term was different to the one that was presented as a free agent. And then you go to James Frawley the year after Buddy Franklin or thereabouts. And he was able to get pick 3 for Melbourne overall, despite Buddy Franklin only being worth pick 19 for Hawthorn. So, look, I'm still dubious and very, very, very sceptical about it. Having said all that, though, there is a formula that they tell us they work to. Okay.
So it sounds like it goes to AFL House Damo, then they spit out who needs the most help and they give them a pick higher if they need help, and if they don't, they slide it back.
Rob, I've been saying words to that effect for a long time now. They don't like it when I say it, but I'm yet to be feeling that there's any reason not to say it. I mean, North Melbourne, I will fall off the chair I'm sitting on if they don't get pick 3 for Ben Mackay when he goes to Essendon as part of all of this. And that's the sort of a feeling amongst the industry when that goes down.
Crazy. Now, let's talk about the big story of the week. Clayton Oliver, he was gone. He was back. What's happened here? There's stories flowing around left, right and centre, rumour mill. What's happened with Clayton Oliver and Melbourne Footy Club this week?
Yeah, the most pertinent part about it from the public narrative on it, guys, in my eyes, was that Melbourne let this simmer for 3.5 days in a very, very public way. They could have nipped it in the bud on Tuesday, and they chose not to. And I don't hold that against them. Clearly, there are issues with Clayton Oliver, and I'm not going to delve into them. I mean, we've all got an awareness of them. They relate to behaviour. They relate to, you know, some of the time he had away from the club when he was dealing with a very serious injury this year and then a complication with an infection. He's always been known to be a little bit different. I mean, he's not the normal. Look, he's not a Christian Petrarca in terms of will do absolutely everything to get himself right. And I think that's what makes him half appealing to, I think, a lot of people. I think he's more relatable to the general public than a lot of footballers. But you get to a point at the end of this season where Melbourne has now gone out in straight sets again, 2 years after they won a grand final, and we're expecting to at least make a grand final beyond that point, and they haven't. And they're just deciding to basically sharpen up every aspect of their operations, and the Clayton Oliver behavioural component was one of them. How real the conversations got, I don't claim to know. I mean, we never really know from the outside looking in, but there were conversations, and clubs, and particularly the one in your neck of the woods, the Crows, with the relationship that he has with Darren Burgess, the high-end fitness guru there, that was, you know, that was a conversation that was at least internally in the Crows thinking, well, hang on, if we really got serious with this, would we be a chance? Melbourne decided to nip it in the bud before their best and fairest count last night to, I think, remove a lot of the public narrative away from it. And they've had their outcome with it because it was very, very public. And I think Clayton has had the wake-up call that they wanted him to get.
Damo, Porter trying to bring in a couple of big men and probably rightly so, looking at their list. Now, obviously, Xavier Dersmer might be involved in that going the other way in the Zirk Thatcher deal. Can you run us through some of the details around this stuff?
Yeah, I just my gut feeling, having covered, you know, trade radio as we now have done for 13 or so years, my gut feel on this one is that Dersmer won't be at Port Adelaide next year, and that it will be at Essendon. That's just a gut feel. But that has opened up. I mean, there's been conversations between player and very senior people at Essendon, and Port ultimately, you know, is a better club than some or most, I reckon, to deal with when players, you know, feel the need for a change. So they won't always grant that access easily, but I think on this one that they will once it all plays out. And yeah, how it looks, given there is a contract at play here, and also Essendon too. I mean, it's probably the last year of Adrian Dodoro at Essendon, the recruiting and list manager who's in charge probably for one last hurrah. And we know that he's had 20 years of stymieing movement and slowing down procedures and process. But the fact he's involved in all of this too, it'll be right on the very last day and last hour even of it. But yeah, they've got to get, obviously, Zirk Thatcher out. And also they're also trying to get Dylan Shield out, Essendon, I'm talking about, and where Dersmer fits in all of that by way of a priority, that will determine when and how, but I reckon he'll get there.
Good man, Damo. Thanks so much for your time, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, Damo. Thank
you. Star all over at that man, Damien Barrett. No doubt about that. 19 minutes away from 10 o'clock, and looking forward to catching up with Sammy Jacobs after 10.
Yes, what a great source.
What a star that man is. Triple M.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Open the top drawer.
It's time for Tomo's Top Drawer.
Oh, it's back with a real vengeance as well. Yes. The people have been asking and I thought, righto, I'll have to do it.
Where's it been?
I don't know. In hiatus.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Well, Tomo has every second week off though, Rock, doesn't he? So
Put the kettle on.
Might have had something to do with the show being stretched out to 3 hours today. But anyway, we'll go through them. Now,
yes.
Rocky, I want to talk about best and fairest with you. You're a two-time best and fairest. And
isn't he just?
Obviously something that you hold close to your heart. And it's a big, big thing to be a best and fairest winner. How did you go when you won them? Did you expect to win them or what?
No, the first one was a massive surprise. Didn't expect it. 21, 2011, snuck through. 2014, yeah, I had a pretty good year. I think I was All-Australian that year. The year I thought I may have won it, 2013, I finished fourth in the Brownlow and finished, I think, sixth in the best and fairest.
Yeah, okay. So funny you mentioned that. Mm. So today, the top draw is Brownlow medalists who didn't win the BNF that year at their own club.
I like it.
So they're the best player in the competition, but they're not best on their selected list. Yeah. And this is why it's so different between, you know, the coaches and who does the votes rather than the umpires as well. So we saw last night, Josh Dacos won the best and fairest.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Dacos finished, what, third in the Brownlow or something like that.
And was favourite.
Yep, that's right. So, and we're kicking off with the Brownlow medalist this year, Lachie Neal.
There you go.
So 2023 won the Brownlow and come runner-up in the BNF to Harris Andrews up there at the Brisbane Lions.
Wow, there you go.
Coming in at number four, this is back in 2007. Jimmy Bartel won the Brownlow medal for the Geelong Cats.
Yes.
Gary Ablett wins the BNF.
Right.
So there's a bit going on. 2008, now this was a bit of a surprise if you remember, Rock. Adam Cooney won the Brownlow medal. So
it was a boilover,
wasn't
it?
That came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Oh, massive. Yeah. I think he would no chance. I think he rocked up thinking he was absolutely no chance. Was it Matty Richardson that was a favourite and expected to win it? And Cooney just came out of nowhere.
He fell short.
Yeah,
he was Simon Black maybe second.
I reckon Richardson went up and started playing on a wing. I reckon he did
and he
throughout
dominated,
that year.
Didn't he? Yeah, he was taking 10 marks a game.
Daniel Cross won the best of fairest that year over Adam Cooney. This one up in Brisbane territory. Jason Akermanis in 2001, he won the Brownlow medal. Yep. He finished fourth in the best and fairest.
Ooh.
Fourth.
Ooh. Jeez.
It was a tie between Simon Black and Michael Voss. And the big one is Dipper, the big dip from Hawthorn.
Wow.
Robert Dipper Minico finished seventh in the BNF. Seventh. And won the Brownlow in 1986.
What? It's what? Seventh?
Incredible how
six
coaches...
better than him at his own club.
Best in the comp.
What's going on there, Rock? Now, run us through some of the reasons why that might be the case, Rock.
Oh, well, the umpires have no idea.
No,
to be fair, sometimes, and we've seen it this year in games, that you watch the Brownlow medal and you just go, how the hell did that bloke poll votes? Where the coaches may go into a game with certain game plans and a bloke may touch it three or four times. Say, Billy Frampton is the perfect example of this. In the grand final, he's touched the footy two times. Yep. He's never going to poll a Brownlow vote or a best on ground or a Norm Smith voting for that. But internally, the coaches probably give him the maximum votes because he's gone out there, shut Harris Andrews out of the game, done exactly what he had to do. So that's where you get the differences of opinion. You could be clearly best on ground, but you may not have done all the team things from a coaching point of view that they wanted to see. So you may not poll maximum votes.
The Crows best and fairest tonight.
Mm.
Tex a chance? Tex win it?
He has to.
Does he win it?
I think he does.
No, or is it Dawson?
No, you don't reckon?
Dawson wins it?
Dawson and win it.
When was the last... I mean... The Crows weren't in the top few. And I look at, you look across the time and you, the way Tex played this season was so dominant up forward, whether he was kicking the goals himself or piercing inside 50 to someone's chest. I look at that and just think.
76 goals, Rock. He'd have to go podium finish, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but he kicked 19 in a couple, like against West Coast, so you probably take a big chunk out there where
maximum
I think
votes,
Dawson was probably the most consistent and best player for the Adelaide Crows for the season. So
again,
I'd imagine he'd win it.
This comes back to, again, you know, where do we stand with key forwards and key backs and voting within awards, whether it's best and fairest or... Brownlows. They just don't get the recognition.
Well, in the
eyes.
Best and fairest, I reckon they do. Like Harris Andrews won the best and fairest for Brisbane. I reckon they do internally more.
Yeah, he gets a lot of it. Though,
yeah,
when he's
I reckon they do internally more. Okay. But in the Brownlow, that'll just never happen.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nah, never happen.
No. 9 minutes away from 10 o'clock here at Triple M. How good? Gunners on a Saturday morning, 12 minutes past 10 o'clock, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo on the one-day international tournament, the World Cup. It's up and running, Fergus.
Yeah, it is. And we saw it kick off with New Zealand and England a couple of nights ago, and that was a huge clash. I feel like those two are going to be in the top four. I was talking the other day with a couple of mates, and in the top four I see making it through to the semi-finals are England, Australia, India, and New Zealand. And that was a big clash. I was really interested in that first one because they're two sides that have played off in finals in recent history. And when England put 9 for 282 on the board, I thought it was a bit ho-hum. 1 for 283 in response, New Zealand were.
Yep.
And, mate, it was just an absolute clinic from New Zealand. They were fantastic. And what they did, which we're going to need to see Australia do throughout the tournament, is get in and go big, not just get to 30 or 40 and get out. We need to get in and go big. And that was a great example of it, New Zealand there. They got two guys to make big hundreds in a run chase, and they chased 282 in 36 overs quite remarkably. So that's a real marker for the rest of the competition laid out right there. But I do feel like Australia are a real chance in this tournament. I think we're well-rounded. I was a little bit concerned when Heddy went out. That's a huge loss.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the value of the man in this studio, but certainly to this Australian team sets a great tone, particularly in Indian conditions. That India series was a real breakout series for him. He's got confidence over there. We need to get him back in. Hopefully he can get back over there for game 3 or 4. But I like the way the Australians are shaping up, bit like when they won the T20 World Cup a few years ago. They've spent their month running in just trying to get the chess pieces on the right squares and make sure it's exactly as it needs to be. Marnus Labuschagne coming in at 4. Look, Smith and Labuschagne coming in back to back. It's a tricky one for me because they've both, you know, one of them's got to be pushing it along batting in India. You can't just both be ticking over at a strike rate of 70 or 80. One of you's going to have to keep pushing it along, but we've got plenty of strike power. I'd love to see Mitch Marsh at 3, but he's not. I think what we'll see is Australia hit the deck running first game, though, having had a chance to make sure they've got everyone in the right positions.
Who's the X factor for us, Fergus? Who's the man in that squad that's going to break the World Cup open for us?
Right now, it's Mitch Marsh. And we saw it a few years ago when they won the T20 World Cup over in the UAE. Once he gets set at the crease in these types of conditions, dry conditions, spin won't bother him. It's starting against spin. So I think batting it in the opening slot or at three is right in his wheelhouse. And I think that if he gets set, we saw it in the last game against India in the run into the World Cup. He made 96. And he is belligerent. He can take a game away from the opposition within the space of 10 overs. He's the one for me while Travis Head's out of the side.
Just projecting forward a little bit as we move into the Test Summit, which we're not that far away. No. You know, as soon as the grand finals are run and done, you know, the Test stuff is right on our doorstep.
Yeah.
Are you worried about our opening batsmen in the future? We might be all right this summer, Fergus, but like, where's our next crop coming through? You know, both Khawaja, Warner, 36, 37 together. Yes. What's our next sort of gear looking like?
Geez, we're really keen to get Will Pekowski right. Yeah. I mean, if we can get him right, he is just a world-class talent. He's if he gets everything together, he's potentially, you know, a top five batsman in the world if he gets it
top
right.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's the sort of talent we're talking about. But unfortunately, he's just had a few issues on the way through with his mental health. So, but when we're talking talent, he's as good as it gets. Unfortunately, he hasn't played a heap recently, but he played during the week in the Shield and got away to a good start in the first innings. The guys coming in behind that they're looking at the moment are guys like Henry Hunt from South Australia. And he probably, along with Bryce Street, who's the other one, you know, 18 months ago were opening and doing quite well with the Australia A side and with their home states. They've spluttered a little bit lately and haven't started the season as well as they'd like. But if they can put some big runs on the board, I think they've got the ability to be those guys that come in. And then there's a young lad named Ward from Tasmania who played quite well in the Australia A stuff in the winter. So they're the guys that we're going to need to see some big runs from to get that confidence in them to select them once we see Warner and Khawaja go, because we know how blessed we've been for a long time.
And local cricket, that's international. Let's talk about state cricket. The Redbacks, they're doing Redback things again.
Oh, come
Fergus.
On, Rock. Now, it's one game Fergus? In. No, it was a tough start. they didn't play very well, unfortunately. So, look, it's a squad that I do believe is on the rise. They played really well in the one-day comp last year, made a final, which was unexpected by a lot of people. It's a young squad, but I certainly believe what you need in Shield cricket is a stockpile of quicks. We've got that now. We haven't had it for a long, long time. We've recruited really savvily, I think. So we've got, you know, guys like Buckingham, who took 7 during the week, playing beautifully over in New Zealand for Australia A in the winter as well. Spencer Johnson, who has come back from the World Cup squad and the Australian One Day team with a hamstring niggle at the moment, so not available. But we've got a stockpile of quicks now that can take us to a Shield, I believe. And we've got some batters that I think, once they get it right and they start gelling, I honestly believe they won a couple of games last year and they were right in a lot of the games throughout the season. They start winning the big moments and they really will put themselves in contention. The other interesting fact is New South Wales look on the verge of winning their first game in 2 years.
Now, that's
how quickly it can happen to a squad. It can really hurt, you know, if you don't quite get it right. It can really plummet for you. South Australia are going the other way. They're on the rise and they've got a strong squad together, I think. Watch this space. Come back to me in about 2 months' time.
Make sure we've got all this recorded as well, because we might play it back.
No worries. I'm confident in this squad.
I like it, mate. It's actually going to be an exciting time with Jake Lehman at the helm as well.
Absolutely. So started with 100 this week
too.
So that's a great way to start your captaincy.
I like that, mate. It's the Dead Set Legends. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Triple M. 104.7 on the dial, and we're also on Listener as well, LIST, and Sammy Jacobs, the new coach of the Woodville West Torrens, going to join us just before 11 o'clock. Also, we had Damien Barrett on earlier, and we're going to replay that chat, so he's got the latest on what's going on with the Crows and Port. We'll do that after 11. But right now, boys, I'm going to talk about what's going on with my young son, River Jack Thomas. We welcomed him a couple of weeks ago, and as you boys both know, both fathers of two respectively, at Whirlwind Early.
Whirlwind
Early.
Yes.
Absolute game changer.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so
incredible.
It's been fantastic. And my beautiful wife, Charlie, has been Super. Obviously, I've been working a little bit as well. So, yeah. You know, she's been up in the night and doing her thing and has been great. But, yeah, just a little moment that happened. It was in the first week that we had him at home. Yep. And we've got a lot of information and a lot of advice from people about, you know, try this to get to sleep and try this to get to sleep. So we've been running with the old white noise, Fergus.
I love it.
You know it?
Our kids still sleep with it.
They're still going
Layla's
with it.
Layla's three, yep. Spencer's nearly two. They love it.
The white noise has been prominent in the household of the Thomases at the moment.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we had just had an absolute dog of a night where River just no chance whatsoever. He just did not want to go to sleep.
Oh, no.
Parents have gone through them. Like, there's no doubt we're going to have so many more of these nights. And, you know, ready for it. Sort of had a bit of a bring it on attitude at the start.
Of course, yeah.
That diminished. Anyway, this one night we got the white noise going. We're having a, you know, trying to get him to sleep. It's the clock, you know, I'm always looking at my phone. I'm working the next day and I'm like, right, if this gets past midnight, I'm going to have to spare room it and Charlie's going to have to, you know, do the grunt work.
Yeah.
We got to about 12:30 and like I said, the white noise was absolutely going. That was humming along. 12:30, River's nodded off. Finally got him down, which is fantastic. Now, I struggle with the white noise in the bedroom. So he's in the bassinet, the white noise. So I said to Charles, I said, right, let's get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get some sleep.
Right. Danger. Danger.
Bang.
Danger.
It was about 5 minutes in. We heard a noise from the bassinet.
Oh,
no. One of the great farts I've ever heard in my life. And this thing had ambience like you wouldn't believe from a 9-day-old kid that woke him up.
Yes.
Absolutely woke him up. This is something that should have come out of a full-grown adult.
Oh,
and
it's
absolutely
the sort of stuff we cop from Rocky weekly on a Saturday morning.
That's right.
After all his dumplings.
I just could not believe it about what had occurred. Woke him up and we started all over again, Fergus.
Extraordinary. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what comes out of the kids' backsides, Tomo, and it gets bigger and better as they go. Let me give you the hot tip. Oh, mate, we had some... Sorry, Rock.
You go. Keep going.
Well, I was just going to say that we had some moments when Layla was younger. She wasn't as good at the sleeping thing as what Spencer certainly was, but... I remember some of the states I got myself into. I got myself into a real tizzle at times. And I remember there was one night where it was, you know, 4 hours. She hadn't nodded off at all, you know, 10 till 2. And I was losing my mind. I was trying to give Rhea a bit of a rest and just let her feed and put her down. But I remember walking up and down the hallway listening to Shut Up of Your Face because she liked that. And it stopped her crying, but didn't put her to sleep. And then I was like, well, she's looking around at everything while we're walking around and I'm bobbing her up and down.
Yes.
So I'm like, I'll try and take that. So I was walking up and down the hallway with a muslin wrap, which is just like a little blanket over my head, over her head, listening to the music, walking up and down the hallway. And at one point I thought, oh, she's asleep. I've got her down. Her eyes are shut. Nothing. Not hearing a peep.
Yep.
So I start walking back into the bedroom, walk straight into the door. Oh. Bang! And she's wide awake, crying and in hysterics again. And then 2 hours later, she finally goes down. 6-hour ordeal it was.
Tomo, there is one thing that you can try that always seems to work. Well, it certainly works for me.
What's that?
When I can't fall asleep and I'm really, really tired at home, I just go into my phone, pull up the listener app, go to Beer with Bluey or get Bluey telling a story, and I am out. I am out for the rest of the night.
Sam Jacobs, Sauce, big fly for the big man Jacobs.
And Sauce Jacobs is clunking marks in the forward 50. That is a very good sign that he's going to have a big day out.
Jacobs from 25, pokes at it, right through the middle.
Please welcome to Triple M's
Dead Set Legends,
Sam Jacobs.
He's the Eagles coach,
Chris,
and we love him here at the Triple M Dead Set Legend, Semi Jacobs. Congratulations, mate. Well done.
Thank you very much, boys. Happy to be on the show.
Now, did you like that little opener? You like that little bit of craft that I just did?
Yeah, I know. I thought that's a bit of a new thing, opener as well, isn't it? So, real classy and it suits this show perfectly.
That's thought so.
High production. Now, mate, let's straighten up for a bit. This is absolutely brilliant for you. I know how much you love the game of football and, you know, you dominated for the Crows, Carlton and GWS. You've gone back to grassroots footy and now you get an opportunity to coach your old club, the West Torrens Eagles. This is brilliant, mate.
The Woodville West Torrens to start with.
Come on.
We actually, yeah, merged a long time ago. But
call him out on it. I love it.
No, mate, it's awesome. It's very humbling, actually, to be honest. Very honoured to get the opportunity to lead the great club. And as we know, I think they've missed missed finals seven times since we've been in the competition. So there is a level of expectation to get the club back into finals, and I'm looking forward to taking that head on.
Massive job, Source. Congratulations. But talk us about through your coaching career, because what I'm hearing is that you took over a country club, won maybe one game, finished seventh of eight.
Hang on. Oh, wow.
And you've taken over a sample team.
No, I did. Obviously, I've done all the coaching courses and all that sort of stuff. And but yeah, coached Ardrossan for a year.
How did they go?
We didn't go too well. Didn't go too well. Country footy though, Rocky, it's a little bit different, mate. And then I had a year with Mickey Godden in the Adelaide SA NFL to run in the midfield and sort of his right hand man. So obviously a bit lean on experience, but in terms of overall football experience, I'm pretty comfortable in a good position to get it right.
Source, I'm not buying into any of that rubbish that Rock's throwing at you. Absolute junk.
They asked me to say that, Source.
I'm 100%. No, he's an absolute joke, Rock, sometimes when he gets into this mood. But what I will say is, and touch on, is the point that you made about footy experience as a whole, because you've been to three different AFL sides, you've seen some different setups, and you've probably seen a lot of things that you think are going to be really beneficial to your playing group, but also some things that you'd probably try and iron out and leave out. Talk us through some of those experiences that have got you set up so well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I think, first of all, I'm obviously a players and people first coach, which that's really my strong suit is, I guess, connection and making sure, we're going to get everyone pulling in the same direction. So I'm really excited to, I guess, build relationships with all the players. And we want everyone, I guess, on board and going the right way. And then for me, the X's and O's sort of come second to that. But obviously, playing footy for a long time, I've played under a lot of coaches, got some really good mentors. And alongside that, I've got Gav Colville, who'll be my senior assistant, next to me as well. So he's got a lot of coaching experience. Yeah, he's obviously a teacher himself. So between us and the coaching group we're putting together, I'm really confident we'll put a good program together.
Source, I'm being serious here. You're coming off one of the great years of country football, dominated it.
Yes.
Absolutely dominated
it. That's right.
Are we seeing the return of the playing coach? Do you just drop yourself in the cage in front of the rock and go, hang on, boys, get it into me quick?
Yes.
Oh, I think footy's a simple game at times as well, so I think that's a pretty good game plan.
Yes.
But no, it's unfortunately, I'll give it up. I mean, I'm 35, but I have to give up playing, and I'm sure I might have a kick here or there locally at some stage. As you know, it's a real passion of mine is local footy.
Mate.
So, but no, I think it's, even though I'm sort of going all right, I think it's time to give it up and focus on an opportunity like this.
And Source, obviously this time of year is a big recruiting drive. Few AFL players would be delisted through this period. Any phone calls, any scoops for us here on the Dead Set Legends? Who's going to be the big recruit for the Woodville West Torrens in 2024?
Well, no doubt, you sort of, once you get the job, it's pretty much you straight into it. But I mean, I haven't gone too far into that. We've got obviously our recruiting team at the Eagles that have sort of got a few irons in the fire there, but for me, I'm really big on internal growth and development. And at the Eagles, you know, yes, we've missed finals the last 2 years, but, you know, they've been for numerous reasons. I'm really confident in the group we've got. And I think our midfield is clearly the best midfield in the comp. So I'm really confident in what we've got there. And I think it's important we add some pieces around that, but I'm not going to be someone that's going to come in and, you know,
come
bring
on,
in all
Source,
these...
Give us a name. Jackson Hatley in.
We won't be bringing all these XAFL guys in if that's what you're after.
Now, Source, I've got some significant concerns, and that surrounds the Crows show on the Sundays.
Yeah.
No, seriously. There are a lot of Crows fans out there that are hanging off that show for the latest and greatest news coming off the weekend of footy.
I'm one of them.
The results from the night before.
Yep.
Tell us it's not over.
Well, I don't know where it sits, boys. The main man is going to have to move on, I think. So, Tomo, he's going to have to step up. And, maybe it's an opportunity for you, Ferg, or someone like that to come on board. And
if you're out, I'm out.
Spread your wings to the Crows family.
So, are you telling us that you've sacked Tomo? Tomo's lost his...
That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I don't know. Are you in radio or journalism? You can hear whoever you want, but...
Source, 80% of my annual income comes from that show, and you've just warned me.
He's got a young family, Source.
If I knew this was going to happen, I don't know if I would have gone through with the beautiful newborn that we have.
Pray for Tomo.
Come on. He spoke to you 6 weeks ago, and you said you weren't coaching Sample.
Can't we just move to the Eagles show? The Eagles radio show?
You know, you know what? I'm in for that.
It's got legs.
The West Orange show?
We'll just rebrand.
You're a star, Sammy Jacobs, one of the great blokes in football, mate. You're going to do a brilliant job at this. We're all proud of you here at Triple M, and go well.
Thanks very much, boys. I look forward to speaking throughout the year.
Go get him, Sauce.
7 minutes away from 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning, 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. What's going on in the trade world, Rocky? You cast your eyes over it, mate. The local sides here in South Australia, what do they both need?
Yeah, we just had a quick look. Let's start with the Adelaide Crows. What do we think they need? I think their forward half is pretty well set. They've got a lot of talent there, talls and smalls alike. They've got a really good balance. Obviously, you're going to look to try and replace Tex Walker in maybe 12 months' time once he retires, but they're ready-made. Fogarty and their key position players, their smalls are really strong. They've got some good up-and-coming midfielders as well. Probably you'd love another a classy midfielder to complement Dawson as well. Potentially Clayton Oliver. Well, if Tomo turned your mic on, but...
I think it was on, but no, anyway. Yeah, just a bit of a technical mishap.
Oliver's obviously off the table now, but if you could find someone a mid-age or... But I think they'll go back to the well. I think they'll go to the draft again and try and bring in some talent. The big area, I think, is they probably still need another solid defender, another key defender. Doudé's leaving. They need to replace that just put to add some a bit of extra pressure.
Well, the young blokes are standing up pretty well at the moment, aren't they, Rock, down back?
Yeah, that's right. But if one of them goes down, is there a lot to bring in behind that?
That's right.
We know that footy clubs get injuries. So you'd love to another key position defender and potentially midfielder as well. They're probably the two things that they're looking at. There's not a lot of noise around the Adelaide Crows, though.
No, there's not. Remember, Murray went down with an ACL as well, a big boy back. So, yeah, I think they do need to really bolster that. Down back, Rock.
Because they can't afford another injury now.
Yeah, that's right. They can score heavily, but they've got to work on their defence as well. They get opened up a little bit too easy. So a defender, maybe even a running back as well. Brody Smith of yesteryear when he was sort of 7-8 years younger, he's sort of getting on a little bit. So you may look to replace him. Running half backup. These things just don't grow on trees, though. Sometimes you have to develop them. Whether they go after him, I think they may do a bit of movement later in the weeks, but there's no real noise around them at the moment.
Just a quick one on the running halfback. You played with him, I think. Well, he spent time at Brisbane, I should say. Could Hinge move into that? He had a really good year, Rob.
Yeah, he did. He sort of does play that a little bit, doesn't he? The halfback wing role for the Adelaide Crows. You'd love to add another one, though. The more options you have there, the ability to defend, but also then set up your play. All the good teams have those halfbackers that really set up the play for them. So I think they'll look for a little bit of that. Port Adelaide, on the other hand, they're going to be active again, aren't they? I mean, they've gone... The noise out of Port Adelaide, they want everyone. So they're going after Radaglia, potentially come through, Zirk Thatcher, Jordan Sweet as well. So they're going to be very active. How do they fit them all in? How do they get these deals done? They've been experts in the past of being able to pull off these trades. They're going to have to give a little bit up. Dersma, we know, may move. They don't have many draft picks on hand to give up, though. They've used them all in previous years to get Horn Francis and these guys along. So they probably are looking to bring in a key back. Tommy Cleary will be back from injury as well. Jonas, we know, retired. So they potentially... One more key defender would straighten them up a little bit. And then they're obviously going to look to replace that ruckman as well. Scotty Lysette's been pretty banged up. Now, for a couple of years, do they shift him on? Does he decide to stay on? So he's still got a couple of decisions to make as well. Fantasia looks like he might be on the outer. He may look for opportunity elsewhere. He was linked to the GWS Giants. Does he end up there? So I think they'll be very, very active again, Port Adelaide, this trade period.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it, to navigate? These days you can use your future picks, though, can't you, Rock?
Yeah, you can, but they've used pretty much all theirs. They'll be looking to go back to the draft, I think, in the future as well. They won't want to give up too many more future picks. They use, as you said, Horn Francis to get him home last year. They gave up the future this year. So they're going to have to find a way to get these deals done with limited draft picks, but they are the masters of doing it.
Rock, are they getting your real juices flowing? The Zerk Thatcher, the Sweet, the Radigalia. Are they really? Is that the three that can get to the next step to play prelim grand final footy?
Well, you hope so. They've got to find a way to take that next step, like the Brisbane Lions did this year. I imagine their kids are going to get better again. Butters, Rosie, Warren Francis, these guys. So Dixon back on the park as well.
Yeah,
Marshall. They may look to get a key position through the doors as well. Ollie Lord, we've seen develop a little bit this year.
Yeah, I'm interested because I've got a bit of an interest in Zerk Thatcher being an Essendon fan. I watched him this year, and I'm somewhat disappointed to see him go because we've put a lot of time and effort into him. He's played a fair bit of footy this year.
What do you want, three first-rounders or something?
So I'd like to see Dersmer first-rounder this year. No. But in all seriousness, if I was a Port fan, I'd think, you know, this is a young guy with a lot of future, a lot of upside. He got some high-pressure roles this year. As I mentioned earlier, the ball comes in pretty quickly in Essendon's defence. So I think he's one for the future. I think with Radigalia as well, that could really boost their chances next year.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. No doubt about that. We'll get the latest out of Damien Barrett, though, for sure.
Yes.
We'll do that just after 11:30 here at the Dead Set Legends. Triple M. 14 minutes past 11 o'clock. This is the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. And we're opening up the phones right now. 133353. Yes. How did you find out you were fired? You got the arse because something had happened on, it was actually Thursday or Friday. I just could not believe it. I was driving along listening to the almighty rush hour.
That's it.
4 to 6 weekdays.
Juggernaut.
And Andrew Jarman dropped that the senior coach in 2024 and beyond for the Woodville West Torrens Eagles was going to be Sam Jacobs. Now, that doesn't seem like a problem to too many.
Good on your source.
Well done. Fantastic.
That's it. But it's not all about you, Tomo.
The back of my head, I was thinking, what's going on to the Almighty Crow show?
Oh, yes.
On a Sunday morning.
A juggernaut.
Here at
I'm not
Triple
sure
M,
that's a juggernaut.
Because he is, he used to be an employee of the Adelaide Crows and no longer will be working for them, which means that...
Oh, dear.
Got the boot, I think. It's the first I have heard about it. I think the Crow show might be on its last legs.
Good grief.
We've lost an on-air partner, and I'm shattered.
You still haven't heard from anyone yet, though, officially.
Not one person. No.
Not one person.
Can you believe it? So, anyway, the phone's on. The emails are there.
Yep.
Crickets. Absolute crickets, mate.
Giving the arse.
Goodness me.
So we thought we'd have a bit of fun on 133353. How'd you find out you were fired? Anything from the cricket days or anything, Fergus?
Oh, well, there's plenty of stories like you've just talked about. People finding out they've been dropped from Shield teams via the paper in the morning and all sorts. So anyway, it made me think back to when I played my one test match and what came after that. I'd played my test match. We got belted from pillar to post by South Africa. I didn't get any runs. And we've headed up to Queensland for the next round of Shield games with the Redbacks, Joe Manny and I. So headed up there. I'm rooming with Chatty Sayers, one of my good mates. And the day before the game, we're about to head off to training. I'm sitting in my room just sipping on my coffee and I hear my phone ring. It's Trevor Hones.
Right.
Chairman of selectors. I'm thinking, this is never a good thing.
No.
Never a good thing.
It's not like he's ringing to back you in or anything.
No, that's right. No, it was far from that, Tomo. Let me give you the hot tip. The great man was ringing me up to let me know I'd been boned.
See you later, mate.
I'm out. He told me I was out and I was flat as a tack and asked him a whole heap of questions. You know, how the hell is this happening? Anyway, moving on from that, though, I got off the phone. I'm flat as a tack.
Yeah,
and I'm, struggling to get through my coffee and, just watching a bit of TV to distract myself before we leave. Anyway, I got 20 seconds into watching the TV to distract myself before I hear a phone ring in the room. Mm-hmm. Chaddy's phone's ringing.
Chad Sayers?
Chad Sayers' phone's ringing. Yeah. So Chad's answered the phone. Yeah, g'day. Oh, g'day, Cracker. Cracker Hones. Anyway, the conversation goes on and he goes, oh, mate, thanks so much. I'm so excited. You know, thanks. You know, I can't wait to get to Adelaide and get involved in the test squad. No. 20 seconds after I've been given the arse, my roommate gets the same phone call from the selector to get, you're in, mate. Congratulations, you're in.
Should have just done a bloody conference call, Rob.
We could have just run me. Do you want me to pass it over to Chatty there, Cracker?
Save yourself a bit of phone credit, big hoop. Oh, yeah. So brutal. Even brutal. Chatty, like a good mate of yours, would have been feeling, you know, he would have known you got the arse. And then, so
mate, it was 20 seconds. He had no idea.
Oh, he had no idea.
No idea I got the arse. He just gets the phone call. He's pumped. And I had a bit of an idea as to the way he was reacting. I got around him and he said, can't wait to go down there with you. Yeah, mate, about that. I'm not heading with you. I won't be on that plane. No, he's a good man, Chatty. So I was really pumped for him. And unfortunately, I wasn't heading there with him.
It's happened in cricket before, though, with the War Brothers. Isn't that right, Rock?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't it the famous story when Steve Waugh got dropped from the test team and he came home, told mum and dad, I'm out of the team, blah, blah, blah. And I think his old man said, oh, well, that's unlucky, mate. Who's replacing you? And he pointed over to his brother and Mark's replacing
him. Peeled off 100 on debut.
Yeah. He did too. Yeah. Smacked him.
Imagine how would the parents react? You'd try and cuddle one boy and then give the other one a pat on the back.
If it happened to me and my brother, I'd say sucked in, I reckon.
Oh, brilliant.
Do we go to the phones on this?
I think we should. Okay. I think there'd be some stories out there.
And we're giving away what? Sam Tass are back again with
the mix and match. $100 voucher, and the mix and match for 4 kilos of premium seafood is just $60. So you've got another $40 to work with there, Tomo.
How good is that? The seafood on a day like today, sun's out, beautiful.
On the barbie.
133353. How did you find out you got the arse? It happened to me. It happened to Fergus. It's not good. 133353. We'll take off next. Triple M 104.7 on the dial. And we're also on listener. L-A-S-T-N-R. It's the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo here until 12 o'clock today. And then we're off to Bathurst, if you don't mind.
How good.
Ooh. We're going to the phones on 133353. How did you get the arse? How did you know you were fired?
Yep.
Happened to me, I found out Thursday, the Crows show could be done and dusted because Saucy Jacobs has now left the Crows. He's coaching the Woodville West Torrens, and we had a nice thing humming on a Sunday morning, Rock.
That's right.
He's left the building, and to be fair, it's probably the best thing that could happen to the Adelaide Crows and the Crows show.
And Triple M.
That show no longer exists.
The Crows are rebuilding that show.
It was the updates on the Sunday morning, just the up-to-date, latest on the Crows and the results of the weekend.
How good was it? You had a massive showdown, Fergus, the night before and didn't get mentioned.
133353 is the number as we move on. How did you find out you got the arse as we go up to Murray Bridge? It'd be nice and beautiful up there. Mate. Isaac, hello, mate.
Hello, how are we?
Good, mate. What happened to you?
It was back when I was trying to play, I reckon it was under 12s cricket. You got to go down to the local hardware shop and team sheets on the door on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I'd been down the nets every night. Keen as, had the little, can't remember what it was called, the little zip line thing with the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, brilliant.
And never got picked. My older brother got picked. I didn't even like cricket.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, that's brutal.
Did he rub it in, Zachy boy?
Nah, he hated cricket. He wasn't even keen. I never played again, though.
That's the worst.
You gave it away.
Yeah. Nah, I gave up.
Oh. Nice sense of stickability there, Ivan.
Push on through adversity. Find a way.
That's it.
Why would you? Who we got there, Fergus?
Yeah, we've got Mark. Now, Mark, I'd love to know, Mark from Hackham, what has happened to you, mate?
Morning, man. Hey, I got fired from a relationship. In a pretty average manner as well.
Hang on. What's happened, mate?
What happened?
Well, many years ago, I was a soldier. I was in the army and gone away on exercise for quite a while, and it was a bit of a hard slog, as you can imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Doing the soldiering thing. Anyway, I got back to Sydney and thought, great, head home, see the wife and lad. Walked in the front door and the house is empty. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So a few days, a few phone calls, and got the you're fired, buddy.
What?
I'm not doing that anymore, for your country. Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. She said I didn't sign up for that. You did. See you later.
No.
Chingies, Marcos.
That's brutal.
No good. What's up? Have we moved on now, mate? Are you right now?
Yeah, had a chip on the shoulder there for a while, but all good now. Got another wife. She's bloody brilliant. She's good on
you, mate. Well, Marky, you can treat her to $100 worth of Sam Tass seafood, mate. Yes. Enjoy that.
Spirit.
Congratulations, mate. Enjoy.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks for your service, too, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for your service.
What up, Marky boy? We love that. It's not too good whatsoever.
Well, it doesn't speak too highly of her, does it?
But
he's just out there serving the country.
That's it.
That's a bit brutal, isn't it? It happened to our producer as well, didn't it? Our man Tommy Basso.
Oh, he
picked up a girl at the Christmas party, the bar staff, a couple of years ago. About 3 or 4 months in, she eventually got the invite around to the house. She walked in, seen the... seeing that the bedroom was full of Port Adelaide gear, Port Adelaide posters, Port Adelaide bed sheets, pillowcases, and she said, see you later.
Jesus. She did.
We went there, didn't we?
No, she did. She said, I'm not sharing a bedroom with Dean Brogan. That's what she said.